WildTalkRadio.com. The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
That means it's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com, twitch.tv/WTLive. Chat, if you have that Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Game. You can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button directly below the screen. You can use character code ROCKTALK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag epic partner. I am the producer, Sir Rockin, joined as always by the intern, Kane Kittens.
What is up?
And we have one... I hear you.
Okay, I was just making sure because I didn't know the mute gone off. My bad.
You're good. You got things to work correctly.
Yay!
The exclamation point Fortnite doesn't work anymore. That's over with. That ad is over with. So, no longer
we
have to
like
do.
Fortnite.
We still like Fortnite. You just don't have to do the command anymore because the command ended 8 hours ago. So we're good. And we have one Keishi Matsunaga.
That also means that, you know, Rock's still an epic partner, though. So.
We are still hashtag epic partner. Yes.
Yeah, keep doing that.
Just continue to use the code, because that does things. It helps things. And we can buy things. Just do the thing. Anywho, there is no Tim right now. Tim may be here if he can get home in time. He may be here. He may not be here. We'll see what happens.
I would say he's running on Canadian time, but we do have
a Canadian here, so we really can't say if he's running on Canadian time or not. So
he's running on Tim time.
He's running on Tim time, which is fine. He's working, so and he's out of town or working or whatever. I guess something
possibly getting heat stroke. It's hot up here today. Wow.
I mean, it's hot everywhere.
It's hot for Calgary.
There we go.
Not hot for the rest of you.
So how hot was it?
The hottest it got where I was 30 degrees Celsius.
In American, that's what?
Let me see. It is 86 degrees.
Yeah, we did it.
That's
huge.
That's
for Calgary, that's a big deal.
It's currently 94 here.
Yeah, I would not.
At 7 o'clock at night.
I would be doing this podcast under a sprinkler.
It's currently 78 here.
So that's doable.
That's doable right now. We were in the mid-80s today, so. And tomorrow goes up.
That must have been rough.
I know, it was rough. It was a rough time.
I don't know but how you guys made it through.
It's a Philly heat. Brent.
It's a city heat. It's a city heat. It's a nice.
Oh, good. We have 70% chance of thunderstorms tomorrow here with a high of 102.
The heat is more violent in Philadelphia. So
it is. It is. It's vicious.
Everything is more violent in Philadelphia.
It's extreme.
Exactly.
It's extreme heat because it's ECW. Anyway, now everyone's just comparing temperatures. 93, 102, 93. Okay, cool. Congrats. Congrats on people having temperatures.
I will never see those temperatures here ever. But you also never see the lower temperatures that we experience, so.
This is true. Well, we get cold. We're not as cold as you.
No, yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, we get so cold that the temperatures are the same in Celsius and Fahrenheit sometimes.
Oh, my. Anyway, so that's weather. Now, but first, we put the maps in motion, and we see a cold front coming through. Anyway.
Now to sports.
No, first entertainment. No. Anyway, sports and entertainment
time. That was last night.
And in the news. All right, so we got some stuff to get into tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about Roman Reigns and the Bloodline and the latest developments there. A little bit of the all-time greatest at the end. But we're 2 weeks out from the show that's going to sell the most tickets in wrestling history, apparently, even bigger than a WrestleMania. All in. 2 weeks from tonight, or this afternoon.
Is that legit, or is that forecast?
No, they're very close to selling more tickets. Not people in attendance, but more tickets.
Oh, yes, I see where you're going with
that. Yeah, they've sold 79,346 tickets, and the record was for SummerSlam 92 of 79,127. So roughly 220 tickets more.
Hmm. That's tickets sold, not people in attendance, because WrestleManias have had over 100,000 sports and entertainment personnel involved in them.
And you know, the concessions crew and the security
guards.
That's
why I meant by sports and entertainment.
People within a 3-block radius of the building.
No, that's AEW TV ratings where they count
parking attendance.
They count people.
I mean, I just mean like wrestling shows as a whole.
Yeah.
I'm saying AEW.
Your grandmother thought about wrestling that day, so therefore she counts.
From the tippy top of the WWE right down to the bare bones.
Right into the Stu Hart basement.
Yeah. Where people walking their dog within proximity of the house in the same neighborhood count as attendance.
Indeed. So, we currently have 4 matches announced for the main show.
5. According to Wikipedia, there is 5 matches.
Listen to the words that he was saying. There are 4 matches announced for the main card.
Okay.
And a pre-show match. Didn't even let me get through the whole statement.
No, I don't. I'm all about technicalities.
And I was going to give you your technicalities. And 2 of those matches feature Adam Cole and MJF.
They're going to get their money's worth out of those two or that night.
MJF,
where are they ever?
MJF wrestled 4 times, it seems like, last year. He's wrestled 4 times already this month, it seems like. He's going to wrestle twice in one night.
You know, before that contract runs out, they're going to want to get...
They're getting all the dates in. All his is getting all in one night.
Yeah.
What are
Must
we lo-
be throwing some bonus money at him.
Must be. What do we think of the card so far?
I don't mind how it's shaping up.
I don't mind. Oh, God.
It'll be interesting to see how that kickoff match will affect the world championship match at the end.
I mean, there's about 5 hours in between, so...
Yeah, but, like, I don't mean as far as, like...
rest or anything.
Yeah, I mean, like, storyline-wise, to see if that kind of plays more into the championship match, or if they save the whole thing until the championship match.
Me thinks one's going to get injured during the tag match, and then make them an underdog in the world title match.
Could be.
So,
or setting up a big turn for the main event.
That is very possible. So your card as it stands right now, it's Aussie Open, taking on MJF and Adam Cole Bebe for the ROH World Tag Team titles. On your pre-show, you have FTR taking on the Young Bucks for the AEW World Tag Team titles. Hikaru Shida, Tony Storm, Saraya, and Dr. Britt Baker, or the bunny, for the women's...
Let's just say Dr. Britt Baker.
Dr. Britt Baker, DMD.
No offense to the bunny. But if we're going to have a show in London that's going to be the biggest card in the world, and you have either your face of the women's division...
Or the bunny.
Or the Blade's wife.
Or no your aficionado.
No offense to Allie, but Dr. Britt Baker's moving on.
Yeah.
If they don't do that, then like there's going to be a huge storyline about Britt Baker not making it.
Like she got hit by a truck.
Or that, you know, like Tony Storm and Saraya, like... legitimately took her out
with a truck.
Yeah, wouldn't it would be a trolley. It would be if we're gonna do All In, it would they'd be hit by a skiff or a trolley.
Or a caravan.
Yes.
Darby Allin and Sting take on the Mogul Embassy and MJF and Adam Cole for the AEW World Championship. Should mention the tag match is the coffin match, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeehaw.
Does that mean both people have to end up in the coffin?
I would assume that would be a thing.
Yeah.
Assume that's what's going on.
So does that mean two people in the same coffin, or it's like when one person is put in a coffin, they are eliminated from the match?
One giant tag team-sized coffin.
One viscera-sized coffin.
Love it.
So far, so good. It feels like we're only getting the one women's match on this show, since they're throwing four. Or maybe we get the TBS title. Maybe.
I was going to say, if Tony is really trying to take the women's division seriously, which, I mean, he's had them as the main event of Dynamite the past 2 weeks, I think he has heard some people talking, and there was that, of course, sign in the crowd during the Britt Baker Taya Valkyrie match that had the camera on it a little bit too long.
Good for the cameraman.
Mm-hmm. The production assistant probably got fired, but
probably walked out of that building just being, eh, worth it.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, if you're gonna do that, you should have more than one women's match. You know, yeah, feature Chris Statlander, or, you know, find another way of getting even, like, a multi-women battle royal or something. Not that I think you have enough for that right now. But a way of at least getting some shine on them on what would be the biggest show. Because then if you have two matches, you can point to it and go, see, we are taking steps.
But but having two matches is low for them because they've had three on other shows.
Well, you can also put the ROH women's title in there if you really needed to.
Well, I mean, you've got the four-way here, so you're featuring four of your top stars in one match.
Yeah.
Now, if that's the only women's match you have, though you are featuring your top four stars, there is still criticism to be had because it's one women's match. And we anticipate another at least five matches to be added here in the next 2 weeks
Five for the main, two more for the pre-show, probably.
How long are we thinking this thing goes? 3 hours?
Five. Oh, no, this is going to be 4 to 5 hours.
Mm. It's going to be his typical pay-per-views go four, and then an hour with the pre-show for five.
Yeah.
I'm thinking this is going 5 hours main, 1 hour pre.
6 hours of wrestling for this.
I think he's going, the reason why I say that, you're not restricted to the midnight cutoff for pay-per-view here in the States and in North America, because it's going to start at 3 Eastern, most likely. So you can go go 3 to 8 Eastern and be okay for your audience. You're also doing it in a position, in a way where he has the most people in attendance for a show, so he's going to want to give them as much as he can, you know, for their money.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see them going 5 hours main, an hour pre. So that would be 2 Eastern, 2 to 8 Eastern.
Now, do you run the risk, if you're doing 6 hours of wrestling, do you run the risk of burnout before your big main event?
I think if it was somewhere that wasn't the UK, probably. Yeah. But because it's like, it's, well, one, it's the UK, and like, if the last WWE PLE was any indication, and this is AEW's first foray into the UK, I don't think it'll be as big of an issue as it would be anywhere in the States.
And it also depends what they throw on the card.
Yeah.
Right.
The rest of the way. We know we're going to get Punk and Joe, maybe
and Ricky.
No, not Ricky. He's not going to be on the show. And he's probably not on All Out either, because on Collision last night, they suspended him for 30 days.
Ah.
So unless they change their mind and reduce that, he's gone for 30 days for whatever reason. Because he attacked Ricky Steamboat.
Okay.
Ah.
So we've got that match, Joe and Punk.
Punk. Maybe for a title, maybe not for a title.
If you're going to do it, it's got to be for the fake title.
Do title for title. Real World's title versus the TV title.
Why not? Have it end in a brawl.
have CM Punk appear on ROH TV.
I mean, he's already
trying to get eyes onto it.
He's already there at the building.
I mean, that's true.
And he's just frustrated.
Because they do Ring of Honor taping with Collision.
Yeah.
They do.
You can have him appear on it for a month.
And then the other two or three rumored I've heard is Jericho versus Ospreay.
Why though? I don't. It does. That doesn't feel like a match that they've been building to anything. That's
well, it's going to happen this week because what'll happen is Jericho has seen the JAS leave him, and so he's going to say no to Don Callis, and Callis is going to be spurned and be like, "Well, I've got someone who is part of my family that will teach you a lesson," and this is where Ospreay comes in. And because, of course, you can put Will Ospreay in the UK on AEW for that cheap pop.
That feels forced.
I understand, but I'm saying this is the rumor I've heard.
Okay, what else have you heard?
Naito. Again, Ibushi. Ibushi, Paige, ooh, and Omega versus the BCC.
Okay.
Because you're gonna save Omega and Takeshka for All Out.
Mm.
You put the six man.
Yeah,
in
I get
UK.
That. I get that. It just doesn't go like it doesn't like go.
Understand. I'm just saying.
I mean, I feel like after Blooded Guts and they all shook hands or whatever, I feel like that's just done. So.
And then the biggest match of the three that I've heard, and boys, hold on to your socks.
I'm not wearing any.
Okay, well then. Put some on and be ready. Jeff Jarrett versus Grado.
Why?
Because they've built it up on local media.
Which
when
local
Jarrett
media?
Put a guitar through his head.
Yeah, they did an angle for press. They called it
on a radio show.
On a radio show.
Huh.
And again, cheap pop for the UK crowd because
okay, I'm going to say this now. You don't need a cheap pop for the UK crowd. They're giving them AEW stars. That's all they should need.
I get it, but you know Tony Khan, he wants to, you know, ingratiate himself for that, so what is he gonna do? He's gonna pull out every, you know, UK talent he can so he can be like, see, look, we've got your guys, cheer us!
Oh, sorry, yeah, that makes sense.
But you don't need it. You don't need it, though. That's one match you don't need.
No.
I get it, but they're going to. That's going to be one of your pre-shows, probably.
Probably, but you just don't need it. That's a slap in the face to your locker room.
Well, here's the thing. When it comes to, like, most of the matches on an AEW pay-per-view, three of them you don't need anyway. They're Dynamite matches, but he puts them on the main show because he wants to, quote, give the fans what they want.
But is Grado, who's never appeared on AEW TV, going to be a part of AEW's biggest event? Like, that's just...
I mean, that is definitely more for the UK crowd than anything.
But they don't... Do it before you go live, then, with anything.
Yeah,
but... Do it as the dark. Not on. Don't even put it on the pre-show. Do it as when people are filing into the building.
Or they could do it on whatever lead-up show that they're having in the UK.
There's no lead-up show in the UK.
There is no lead-up. They're doing Collision in... Georgia before they fly over.
Yeah, an expert could go and give us a recap.
They're doing a Saturday Collision, and then they're flying.
No, they're taping it on like
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Okay.
They're taping it after Dynamite.
That makes sense.
And then giving them the extra day or two to get out there to the UK.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a double taping on the 23rd.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, and then we'll see how this card stacks up and can grow. It just, I don't know, feels like we're missing something big.
Well, the biggest problem is the fact of, we talked about this when they first announced the show. You're doing this, and then 1 week later, you're putting together another pay-per-view. So, are you going to be burning some storylines at this one, and then having to do some immediately after? Or are you trying to save some, like, Omega Takeshka for All Out in Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
Because that feels more like your, quote-unquote, AEW event, and this All In is more kind of like a showcase for the British crowd.
If I'm an AEW fan right now, God, $100 you're going to spend.
There are going to be a lot of people who are going to choose.
And it's going to be 11 hours worth of content probably between the two shows.
But $100.
That's a lot.
I mean, that's less than 10 bucks an hour, so.
Still 10 bucks an hour.
I get it. I know.
It's a lot of money to watch wrestling.
And here's the thing. What happens if someone actually gets injured at All In and that has to, you know, force a change to All Out? What if some, like, a big injury happens and it's like, well, we need to rewrite an entire show?
It's happened before.
Oh, I know. This is a really risky proposition that Tony has put together to try and...
It's not in pounds. We're talking $100 US pay-per-view, 50 each.
which is...
A lot more Canadian.
Oh boy, is it a lot here. Let's find out.
Carry the one. It's probably, what, 125, 130?
I don't know. I'm just going to go to
I was giving a guess and stalling so you can
Google it.
I just saw what the lineup is for this week's Dynamite.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Deathmatch. Yep.
Deathmatch. We were at the Texas Chainsaw Deathmatch Championship match. Jeff Jarrett versus Jeff Hardy.
Oh, yeah. not championship match.
Yeah.
For what championship?
The Texas Deathmatch Texas Chainsaw Massacre Championship.
Isn't there's a championship?
That's what I thought it said.
No, it's just the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Deathmatch.
I swear I saw a graphic that said for a title.
Okay. I sent that to you, but I don't remember a championship being involved. Yeah,
I thought that said championship at one point.
No, I was just looking at the fact that they bought a Texas Chainsaw Massacre video game collaboration into that, and boy, let me tell you, you want to talk about bad ideas for cross-branding. there is no championship on the graphic. It's it says a game based on true events.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know if it's a great idea putting Jeff Hardy into a death match, but okay. Mm-hmm. And, Orange Cassidy versus Wheeler Yuta for the International Championship. That's another match that will probably, or at least the International Championship, should be on the card in All In.
So I'm going to read this, and I quote, in conjunction with the Texas Chainsaw game, this Wednesday on AEW Dynamite, the first ever Texas Chainsaw Massacre Deathmatch Championship will go down between Jeff Jarrett and Jeff Hardy. Don't miss Wednesday Night Dynamite live at 8, 7 Central on TBS, an AEW tweet.
So what, do you get a fucking chainsaw if you win? Is that the championship?
Yes.
Oh, okay, wait. Wait, so we already have a fake championship in the FTW, because that's not recognized, remember.
Yeah.
We have the Owens, which is technically a championship, but it's not defended. We're now going to have the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Deathmatch Championship, in addition to the five other belts that you have for the company. Dear God.
So All In and All Out are actually $50 Canadian and $40 American.
Oh, they cheapened it here. Okay.
So you guys are getting 500 hours of wrestling for only $80.
Oh, $80. Ooh, wow. Okay.
That is a 20% savings.
And then you're still going to have your 2-4 hours of regular TV in amongst all of that as well.
Yeah, buddy.
So...
Dear God. Like, after All Out, it's just going to be... You're just going to feel so spent in terms of wrestling. You're like, I don't even want to watch anything anymore.
And then you have 2 premium live event pay-per-views the following weekend.
Oh, yeah. Payback and the NXT one, right?
No, All
After
Out.
All Out?
Oh, you said After All Out. It's All In. I'm talking about All Out weekend. It's All Out and Payback.
Oh.
In a weekend. Saturday night's Payback. All Out is Sunday. Yeah.
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 Maybe.
Casey might be
flipping a coin.
So All Out, that's Labor Day weekend, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh, thank God. At least you get Monday to recover. No, wait, Raw. Shit.
Wow. I mean.
It's a lot. A lot's going down. When is the next NXT show? When is NXT? Oh, it's end of September. That's what it is. But... That's All In, All Out with the AEWs. In case you want to talk about the Bloodline and the latest developments, what tell us about the latest developments and things that you want to mention, Case.
I mean, for those that did not watch, I guess,
mm-hmm.
or did not check out the clip on YouTube, or, you know, did not go live in Calgary, aka me, I went to a baseball game. So what happened was it looked like, you know, Jimmy was already out there with Roman and Solo. Jay came out because he wanted an explanation. And Jimmy said that he did it because he was scared that Jay would turn into Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy left.
Jimmy offered himself up for a super kick in retribution and then just peaced out.
And then...
Roman and Solo attacked. Jay fought him off. Jay hit a spear on Roman. Jay's all excited. Jay's then say, "Hey Jimmy, come here, boy, come here,
bro,
come here."
And it looked like they were gonna hug it out.
And then,
and instead,
bam.
Jimmy hugged Jay's foot.
Bam! Super kick party. Oh yeah.
Hey, He threw himself into Jay's foot. Let's call it like it was.
That's pretty much what happened.
He embraced Jay's foot wholeheartedly. Mind, body, and soul. And then his soul got super kicked out of his body.
Yeah.
And then
Jay
put up the deuces, said he was out of the bloodline and WWE, and left through the Calgary crowd.
I am out the bloodline. I am out of SmackDown. I am out of WWE. Deuces, ooses.
I mean, it was a good ending.
Him leaving like that was enough for me to be like, okay, I'm still, like, Jimmy's explanation took me out. I was like, really? That was it? You've known your brother for your entire life and you thought he might turn into Roman? You don't know him better than that? So you attack your brother? That was kind of a soft explanation.
It was.
But having Jay go and say, I'm completely done, that brought me back in just enough to want to see where this progresses, but not enough to bring me fully back in. That explanation was soft.
S-A-W-F-T. Yeah. Soft.
I'm talking like S-A-W-F-T. I'm talking Vancouver soft. I'm talking all kinds of soft.
Vancouver. Please send all to at Flames Forums.
There you go. Do complain and command in chat.
Yep. Which he will fully accept, considering he feels the same way about Vancouver.
Listen, if you've seen some of the headlines that come out of Vancouver, you'd say it's soft, too.
Hey-o. Dairy Queen soft. So...
Giggity.
But yeah, I want to see... I'm interested in the J portion of the Bloodline storyline / the J portion of the J storyline, because theoretically he's got nothing to do with the Bloodline anymore.
How long do you keep Jay off TV? Because he said deuces. Like, if he shows up this week, that deuces meant nothing.
Exactly.
The talk is they want to take this to Mania, so if anything, you keep him out to or past Survivor Series.
Yeah.
But based scheduling, they're all advertised one way or another and over the next couple months, so, yeah.
I mean, I kind of saw on the internet that his contract expires at the end of August, so they could... At the very least, they might keep him gone for a few weeks just for that, to get the internet talking, which they already have. But I don't anticipate him leaving. I just anticipate them teasing that, oh, he might leave. He might actually go. His contract's up in like 2 weeks, and he said he's done. Maybe he's done for real.
Oh my goodness. He's going to be gone. He's going to All Out, y'all. Joseph Fatu is appearing at All Out to take on CM Punk. Go ahead, Brent.
I was going to say, I saw something funny that someone said where what you do is you make a deal with one or two indie federations and you have him show up there.
Yeah.
And you just happen to have like footage put out of, you know, him competing at, I mean, not GCW because that's a lot of
Impact. Put him on Impact. Go with his wife.
You have him show up in the company that Umaga's kid is working in.
MLW.
Oh, is he MLW? I thought that was just Jacob.
Is it?
I thought Jacob was MLW, and I can't remember which NOIE he is.
Oh wait, and Jimmy is the one that's married to Trinity.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Jimmy's married to Trinity. Go there. Go to Impact. All in the Bloodline.
Because, I mean, you do have a good working relationship with Impact.
If one of Usos' contract is up, wouldn't both Usos' contracts be up?
Dude, you could have...
Maybe Jimmy got some time extended on because of his injury.
Maybe.
Because remember, he was out with the leg injury for a while.
Possible.
I mean, yeah, Zillow's work in Reality of Wrestling. Isn't that Booker T's gimmick?
Yeah.
Reality is Booker T's thing.
So, I mean, you could have him roll down there, and if they really wanted to...
Their contract is not expiring.
Stir up trouble. Be like, oh, Jay showed up and talked to Umaga's son. Maybe he's looking for backup, blah, blah, blah. Like, there isn't, like, 6 billion Anawais that he could go and bring back with them if he wanted to.
Sure. But yeah, so I just did some digging. His contract is not up.
Ah, well, there you go.
But Daddy Dave would not steer us wrong.
He didn't put it out there either.
Oh.
So someone said someone didn't. Guess what? They lied that they didn't. That person didn't report it.
Oh, well. So there, it happens.
There's your we're taking down the rumors. It does not happen. Doesn't mean he can't show up in an Impact or in our reality wrestling. But he's deuces. So we'll see where it goes. I want to see them give me some substance to it, and I don't blame them for the they have a long leash right now because what they've been doing has been really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and I understand it makes a good plot point. Oh yeah, I did it to save you, yada yada yada, but it's not a strong like hook. But yeah, as we mentioned, him leaving, that was the hook.
So you're saying send hook?
No. He's going after Jungle Boy.
Still?
Maybe? Yeah. I assume? I don't know. Who knows? So yeah, we'll see how it goes. Roman's banged up, but he's still there appearing.
Also, I'm surprised that the Usos got across the border into Canada.
Well,
it worked out stuff.
Yeah, because they went to Montreal.
Oh, yes, that's right.
They made it to Montreal, so there we go. Anyway.
That felt so long ago.
It's been a minute. It's been a lot. Anyway, all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoopsie freaking do.
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Chat, you can play Tim's role tonight. So whatever the thing I see first, we'll go with if we need the pick. So it's Randy Savage betraying Hulk Hogan, brother, or Eddie Guerrero betrays Rey Mysterio. Casey.
Ooh, you can tell it's getting down to the wire. Man. Savage Hogan. It's just, yeah, that's the first one that popped into my head, and things are getting tough. I can't justify it properly.
Chad screamed Eddie, so it's a tie, Brent.
Savage and Hogan were two of the biggest mega stars, and so like
mega powers. Continue.
They were two of the biggest stars that were there, and them combining was a big deal, but it always felt very contentious in the fact of like, you know, Savage was very, very protective and jealous of Elizabeth. So if Hogan shows her any kind of, you know, look, Savage is on guard. I'm going to go with Eddie and Ray just because of all of the emotion and all of just what came from that betrayal, you know, of the eventual, like, Dominic on a pole match.
Legit.
And all of, you know, and just the background that we've had from Eddie and Ray in WCW, and then they come to WWE, and then it's like, yeah, Eddie just put one into the back of Ray and is just an utter bastard.
All right, Eddie and Ray move on. Kevin Owens betrays Sami Zayn in 2014. And James Storm betrays Chris Harris. Brent.
Owens Zayn. I know we're not bringing in the El Generico stuff.
Because we've already eliminated that one.
I know we've already, yep. But with this, it was, they set it up from the very beginning. Kevin Owens starts in NXT. And, you know, has his debut, and then Sammy finally wins the NXT championship, the thing that he's been fighting for and just wanting for so long, and his buddy comes out there and greets him, and then just power bombs him right onto the apron. And it's just, oh.
Oh.
Yeah, it set things up to this very day. That yes. Betrayal, and just, you know, they fight, they're just bitter rivals, and then they come together when they absolutely need to, and then eventually they'll break apart and fight like bitter rivals again. It's just so good. Don't get me wrong, AMW is a great tag team, and that, you know, when James Storm busted the bottle over Chris Harris, that was a very asshole move, but there's just something else about Owens and Sammy that puts it over the top for me.
Cash.
I full-heartedly agree with Brent. Owens betraying Sammy, like, there was it got a bigger reaction from me than Storm betraying Chris Harris. Not because I saw it coming, but for some reason when that happened, I was just like, oh! And when Storm betrayed Chris Harris, there was less shock factor.
Okay. Owen Hart betrays his brother Bret Hart. Sergeant Slaughter turns on America. Cash.
Because Tim's not here, I'm going to go with the Canadian storyline and pick Owen Hart betraying Brett. I mean, that led to one of the best WrestleMania matches of all time. It was a very big deal for those of us north of the border. Well, I also understand that Sergeant Slaughter turning his back on America is a huge deal because it was Sergeant Slaughter. I'm also Canadian.
You are a real Canadian.
Sorry.
Hey. Brent.
You know, Slaughter turning on America was a big thing, especially at the time in which it was done. I mean, for God's sake, the man was a G.I. Joe, and then he joins, you know, Colonel Mustafa and General Adnan.
Yep.
Iron Sheik repackaged, of course. But, like, that was a thing. But Owen kicking the leg out from Brett, and, you know, it felt so good to do it. It was finally the time for Owen to get the shine on him. And it turned into, you know, a WrestleMania match. It turned into a big SummerSlam match in Big Blue. Yeah, I'm going to go Owen and Brett. Sorry, America.
Chat went with Sergeant Slaughter. So 2-1, Owen and Brett.
That one also kicked off Owen Hart's, like, premium run as a heel. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if he would have been as memorable of a quote-unquote entertainer if he didn't have that heel run. Because, boy, was he such a good heel. And I don't know if he stayed, like, Bret Hart-style babyface if he would have been as successful as he was.
I don't think so. He needed the edge.
Yeah. And, I mean, like, just like Bret, I mean, he could wrestle sleeping and still, like, put on a great match. So the fact that he got that ability to just, like, be a pest, which is kind of how he was in real life, just sort of turned up a little more, I think did great things for Owen Hart. So
Shawn Michaels betrays Marty Jannetty while Paul Heyman betrays Brock Lesnar in 2002. Brent.
Really? I mean, Paul Heyman betraying Brock Lesnar. No. I'm sorry, I can't even. We've got the one that is the ultimate betrayal. We've got the one that, when you talk about betraying someone, is the clip. This is what set one man on a trajectory to superstardom and sent the other into a tag team with a guy named Leaf Cassidy.
All right, we got Sean and Case.
Yeah, nothing destroyed my childlike arts more than that barbershop thing. It was like, it was probably my, like, first hand experience at, like, betrayal on television to that degree. It, like, I was such a huge Rockers fan, and when that happened, my childlike brain got destroyed. I hated Shawn Michaels forever because of it. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go Shawn. And also, like, that whole breakup is, like, referenced throughout the wrestling annals from that day that it happened. Everybody, all tag teams walking around being like, I'm the Shawn, you're the Marty. So, like, to be able to reference that so many years later and have everybody understand what that reference means, obviously means that it had a huge impact. It's not like you hear anybody going around being like, you're the Paul Heyman and I'm the Brock Lesnar. That just doesn't happen.
Very true. If you're looking at WrestleTalkRadio.com, you can peep what the next round match is going to be.
Boy, am I.
You set yourselves up.
Oh, God. Oh, that one's going to be brutal.
Anyway, Trish Stratus turns on Chris Jericho in 2004 while Randy Savage betrays Miss Elizabeth and aligns with Sensational Sherry. Cash.
Savage betraying Miss Elizabeth. At that time, like, why would anybody in their right mind betray Miss Elizabeth? She was the best. She was like, I don't know, how do you explain? She was just, I don't know.
She was pure.
Yes.
She was the absolute innocent, the fan favorite, what everyone, like, adored.
And, like, having, whether it be Savage or anybody, either betraying her, going after her, anything like that. Like, if you wanted, like, legit, straight up heat from a crowd in that day, you use Miss Elizabeth, and it'll get you that heat.
Indeed. Brent.
Well, if Tim was here, he'd vote for the Canadians, so but vote. I'm not Tim. So, Randy and Miss Elizabeth.
Clean sweep all around on that one.
I feel like he would have taken Savage Elizabeth.
Oh, I know. But we had a pair of Canadians in that betrayal.
Hey, shocked the crap out of me. I did not expect Trish Stratus to do that. And, like, they did a really good job developing that storyline. But it's Miss Elizabeth.
We know. Yeah. We know.
It'd be different if it was, like, WCW, NWO Miss Elizabeth, because then she was not sweet and innocent. And I've been like, yeah, betray her. She deserves it.
Triple H and Shawna go corporate, turning on D-Generation X in 1999 while Kevin Owens betrays Chris Jericho. Brent.
I understand the big moment of Triple H going corporate, turning his back on DX, but there's just something about the Festival of Friendship. There's just something about that cornball pairing of Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens that built up to that moment. Where, you know, they were goofy as all hell, and then they have that, you know, oh yeah, the Festival of Friendship, and you can just see Owens, like, the gears are turning the entire segment, and then he pulls out, or, you know, Jericho pulls out the new clipboard. Why is my name on this list? And gets obliterated.
Alright, so we got one for the Festival of Friendship. Chat went D-Generation X, being betrayed. Keish, break the tie.
Said it before, and I'll say it again. I don't have Triple H in China going corporate on display in my room. I have the Festival of Friendship displayed in my room. So we're going Owens betraying Jericho.
There you go. Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho move on in the all-time greatest. Got two more for the night. Ooh, we got this is a big one. Turn the tide, brother. Paul Bearer betrays The Undertaker at 1996 at SummerSlam while Hulk Hogan betrays the fans and creates the NWO. Keish.
Ooh. Paul Bearer betraying The Undertaker was a very big deal. Especially, like, bringing in Kane and setting that whole thing off. And, like, that was pretty good storytelling. And it, like, they, like, leaned into that narrative for years and years and years. It kind of, you know, it gave The Undertaker a little bit of a refresh at that time. And Kane became a big, big star because of it. But Hogan turning heel after being a babyface for so long, and like the reaction that they got, like people throwing stuff in the ring, me and Gene Okerlund being a victim of just having to stand there and hold a microphone while they got pelted with drinks and popcorn, possibly a battery or two, who knows, like just the visceral reaction that the fans had when Hogan leg dropped Savage Bash at the Beach and turned on everybody. You can't get bigger than that. So I'm going Hogan.
Right.
This one hurts. Only because, like, Bear and Taker hurt me as I was growing up because it's, you know, you started to like Undertaker. You were cheering for him through that run. He just got done fighting Mankind in the Boiler Room Brawl, which, as we've now learned, was essentially a 2-day match. And, you know, Taker comes out, he finally thinks he's defeated him, and he gets down on the knee, and he's, you know, holding the hand up to Bear, and Bear just brings the urn down on his head, and no one saw that coming. Bear is the guy that Taker protected and had the source of power from, and he turned, and it just, like, it ripped your heart out. That being said, the bigger betrayal, the bigger moment was when your absolute white meat baby face epitome turned heel on the company, the fans, God, vitamins, all of it.
Stick it, brother.
It was that, and even though Heenan gave it away halfway down the aisle.
But which side is he on?
God damn it, Heenan. It was still that moment, like he gets in the ring and you see Hall and Nash kind of like slowly back off, and then he drops that leg and everyone just stopped. That is a cultural moment. Like, Bearer and Taker is a big wrestling moment. Hogan creating the NWO was bigger than wrestling.
There you go. Alright, Bobby Roode betrays James Storm. Triple H turns on the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels in 2002. Keish.
The breakup of Beer Money was well done. I liked Beer Money. I was sad when they broke up. James Storm had to stop riding on that scooter full of booze.
The Boozer Cruiser.
But Triple H turning on Shawn Michaels was pretty big. Like, Triple H seemingly brought Shawn back into wrestling at that time. He went and found him working in a kitchen somewhere, or whatever that storyline was.
No, that was in 06. He found them.
Oh, that was 06?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was during Legacy because Trips was getting beat up and he's like, I have to go find someone.
That was against the Spirit Squad.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Because, yeah, Triple H was beaten up by five people and all of a sudden one of the Spirit Squad members comes flying in from the back.
No, this was Shawn's big return to the WWE after 4 years.
Oh, okay.
He joined the NWO and then Kevin Nash tore his quad, so they had to change things around. So Shawn went from being just the manager to, hey, guess what? You're now going to wrestle again. And probably earlier than he probably thought they were. This was Hunter turning on Shawn. Then they did a whole thing. Hunter
shoulder length hair, right?
No, that was a little bit later.
Okay.
But this was the story that got built up.
Yeah, this started a story for 3 years.
After the fact, mm-hmm. after the turn, like how they drew that out was done so well. It was done, I think, better than the Bobby Roode James Storm thing that kind of, I don't even remember how that kind of played out.
Yeah.
But like Triple H turning on Shawn and the subsequent program that they ran after that was so well done. And I mean, obviously it would be because these guys are basically best friends. So when you have people who know each other so well, you're always going to have a great program. And so I have to pick Triple H turning on Shawn Michaels.
Right.
Yeah, I really like Beer Money. They were entertaining as hell. You had, you know, James Storm was essentially the comedy of the group. Roode was, not that James was not a good worker, as we've still seen to this day, but Bobby was more the workhorse of the group. But when all is said and done, Triple H and Shawn Michaels and the betrayal that kind of set everything in motion for what came from it gets my vote.
And chat would agree. So that's the third round of the all-time greatest.
Oof.
Some interesting matches coming up in the fourth round.
We're in the quarterfinals.
It's going to get really, really interesting. To say
I don't
this.
Like it.
Well, it's your fault. You guys did this.
That is true. We did kind of do this.
You guys did this. Anyway, they'll do it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back next Sunday for another edition at 10 p.m. Eastern. But before we get to there, we have more things to talk about, including the Raw Post Show Monday night at 11 p.m. Eastern. The Rack is live Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern is Fortnite with Friends, followed by CB Radio Live and intern-free CB Radio Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Sunday night, as mentioned, at 10 p.m. Eastern for another edition of WTR Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio. Chat, if you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. You can support channel by clicking the purple rectangle at the bottom of the screen. You can use credit card Rockstock in the Fortnite item shop. When the WWE skins show up here, probably this week at some point, because hashtag Ooh. Epic Partner. You can follow us on social media at Wild Talk Radio on X, the Twitters, whatever you want to call it. It's at WTR Sunday Night on Twitter and Facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim's on Twitter at Flames Forums. You can give him shit for not being here. Because why not? What should we send? Got chat. What do you want to send Tim this week? What can we send him, right?
Beavers.
Send him beavers. Chat, tweet at Flames Forum some beavers.
Because you know two beavers are better than one.
Because they are twice the fun.
Are they damn better?
Wow.
Okay. Anyway. Well, if he wasn't here, I had to pick up the slack.
There you go. There you go. Case, you're on the socials.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram and the platform that is teeter-tottering between Twitter and X at Kyle Driver. It's still Twitter on my phone somehow, even though it's been updated. Maybe it's because I'm Canadian. At Kyle Driver. So you take the word Kyle Driver, you replace that first letter with a K, you get Kyle Driver, and you'll find me sometimes tweeting about wrestling and not very much else. I'm really bad at social media. But also, in the description of both of those, you can find a link to my merch store, which is Redbubble, and get yourself a shirt or some stickers or some other fun stuff. Thanks.
There you go. Brant's on the social medias.
Yep, you can find me on X, or whatever it's known as this week.
Twixer.
At King... What?
Twixer.
Twixer. At King Kittens. You can also find me on Threads at King Kittens, because yes, that's still there. I may also have some other things coming here soon. Hopefully very soon we will find out. But you can also find me, well, not this weekend, but normally on Saturday nights with the Intern's Corner on CB Radio.
There you go. This has been WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll see you next Sunday night and all week long, along there with the Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live right here at wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTR Night, WTR Live. Kay, say goodnight.
Good night, everybody. Have a good week.